To today's meeting. Thank you, Kim. Welcome to today's meeting of the Municipal Services Committee. And we're going to get underway here. Peter Souza, our chair, will join us as soon as he's available. He's wrapping up another meeting. Hopefully everyone has the agenda handy. If not, Kim is going to bring up her PowerPoint. And we'll just start off a little bit of a roll call, introductions, in case we have some new folks joining us today. So I'll just call people's name. If you just want to briefly introduce yourself, that would be great. Starting off with John Coleman from Bloomfield.
Good afternoon, everybody. I'm John Coleman, Interim Director of Building and Land Use for the Town of Bloomfield, and also Chair of the CROG Transportation Committee.
Welcome, John.
Thank you.
Fred Presley.
Good afternoon, everyone. Fred Presley, Town Manager, Town of Weathersfield.
Welcome, Fred. And then our Manchester colleagues, Kimberly and Kasha.
Hi, I'm Kim Lord. I'm the Director of Finance for Manchester.
Hi, Kasha Priscillo, Assistant Town Manager for Manchester.
Welcome to you both. Thank you for attending today. Bob Skinner from Canton.
Yep, Bob Skinner, Town Administrator from Canton.
Welcome, Bob. Mark Walter from Columbia.
Again, Mark Walter, Town Administrator of Columbia.
Hi, Matt. Mark. Andy Ciroli.
Hey, good afternoon. Andy Ciroli, Assistant Town Manager, Town of Plainville.
Sorry for the slight mispronunciation there, Andy. Great to have you.
No, you're good. Thank you.
All right. And we've got Tom Fitzgerald from Simsbury.
Tom Fitzgerald, Deputy Town Manager in Simsbury.
Welcome, Tom. Maria Capriola from Mansfield.
Yes, good afternoon. Maria Capriola, Chief of Shared Services and Administration for the Town of Mansfield.
Welcome, Maria. Grace from Avon. Welcome, Grace.
Hi, Matt. Grace Tiazzi, Assistant Town Manager, Avon.
And then I see Jonathan Louise from Glastonbury.
Hello, everybody. I'd have my video on today if I could figure out how to get it to behave, but I can't.
Oh, welcome, Jonathan. And then we've got Lauren. Lauren Rines.
Hi, Lauren Rines, Director of Administrative Services, Town of Newington.
Excellent. Welcome, Lauren. Betsy from Granby.
Matt, she said in chat that her mic is not working.
Oh, okay. Welcome, Betsy. Great to have you. Congratulations on Granby's new town manager. It's good to see Mayor Mike Land and stay within the region. So for those of you who haven't heard, former East Hartford Mayor Mike Walsh is the new town manager in Granby. So we look forward to working with him and with Betsy in his new capacity. And then lastly, let me call on my CROG colleagues to introduce themselves. Elizabeth.
Hi, Elizabeth Sanderson, Bipartisan Infrastructure Law Coordinator at CROG.
Welcome, Elizabeth. Kim.
Kim Bona, Project Manager for Municipal Services at CROG.
Rob.
Rob Eloise, Director of Transportation at CROG.
Pauline.
Pauline Yoder, Chief Operating Officer here at CROG.
Okay. And we're just wrapping up introductions. Lori, great to see you. If you want to just briefly introduce yourself.
Lori Spielman, First Selectman, Town of Ellington.
Excellent. So did I miss anyone? I think I got everyone. Good. Well, let's continue. Again, Peter Souza is going to join us as soon as he is available. So the next item on our agenda would be the approval of minutes from our February a 20th meeting. Could I entertain a motion to approve, please?
So moved.
All Lori right. A motion from Lori. Could I have a second?
Bob Skinner, second.
A second from Bob. Thank you, Bob. From Bob Skinner. Okay. Any suggested revisions or corrections to the minutes? Hearing none, all those in favor, please say aye.
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 Any opposed? Any abstentions?
John abstains. I was not present.
All right. John abstains. Any other abstentions?
I abstain. Kim Lord from Manchester.
And Kim abstains as well. Great. All right. Motion passes. Thank you. So now why don't we move on to our staff reports. Again, Peter Souza will be joining us a little bit later, so he can add additional items when he arrives. And we'll try to quickly move through the other staff reports here. So I will lead off, and very pleased to announce that CROG, we have largely completed our move to our new location. We are now at 350 Church Street at the Metro Center here in our capital city. The move thus far, knock on wood, has gone extremely well. Want to thank and commend Pauline Yoder and other members of our team for their excellent coordination. The staff response thus far has been really positive. There are many advantages to our new space. As you may know, those of you who participated in the deliberations process when we were reviewing various options last year. But we certainly have more space for staff, enhanced parking, security, a number of other advantages too. So we will look forward to hosting you and our other members in the near future. So again, a big thanks to Pauline and everyone who coordinated things on our end. And another tremendous thank you to our members, to all of you for supporting us in this move. Next item I wanted to touch on is CROG's legislative agenda. You know, there are a handful of items that we are monitoring closely that are in front of the General Assembly. One relates directly to the work of this committee, and that is a bill on shared services, House Bill 5056. You may have read about it. You may be familiar with it. It's a bill introduced by the administration, by Governor Lamont's team. And it's really designed to remove the remaining impediments to service sharing between towns, service sharing utilizing a council governments, even services between school districts and a town like Mansfield and Plainville and others have employed for several years now. So it's really designed to remove remaining impediments either under a local charter or under the state's collective bargaining statute. So it's in front of the Planning and Development Committee. CROG did, on behalf of the governor's office, we did conduct a press conference on the bill, and Weathersfield was very kind enough to host us. I think that was well received. You know, we did testify in support of the bill in front of Planning and Development at their public hearing last week. We joined forces with CCM and with COST. We're all aligned. We all offered very similar suggestions in terms of how the bill could be improved. And my understanding is that the Planning and Development Committee will be reviewing the bill at their meeting this coming Friday and hopefully mark it up as in the joint favorable category, and it will continue to move forward. So that's a bill we're excited about, and you know, hopefully we continue to make progress on. Let me touch on three other things, then I'm happy to take questions. You may recall a meeting or two, we had a good discussion on automated traffic enforcement systems, you know, red light and speed cameras. So very soon, the CROG team is going to meet to begin work on a project. We want to develop a dedicated page on our website to this topic where we would list relevant information for our members, including a sample ordinance. We also want to look at going out to bid, where we can identify a number of preferred vendors that you all can utilize if indeed you do decide to proceed with a system for your community. As you may recall from our discussion a month or so ago, you know, this is somewhat complicated, right? It's somewhat complicated in terms of implementing a system. I imagine it's going to be a learning, there's going to be a learning curve for the state and the individual towns, as well as the MPOs. But we want to do as much as we can to help you out for those of you who are interested in implementing this in your community. So more to come on ATE, those ATE systems. Two more items I'll touch on. Last week, we co-hosted a meeting with CIFSIC, that is the Connecticut Foundation Solutions Indemnity Company, that's really taking the lead on assisting homeowners throughout our region with crumbling foundations. We do plan to update our analysis of the grand list impact that the crisis has had on our region. We want to do this in order to make the case for continued state funding. We also have some ideas. Mike McGlaris, the superintendent from CIFSIC, has a pretty good idea of how much additional funding we might need to resolve the crisis more completely, or once and for all, to borrow his words. So we think this analysis will be important to help make that point with our state legislature. So a number of you did participate in last week's meeting, and I wanted to thank you for doing so. And then lastly, the RPIP program, Regional Performance Incentive Program. As you may recall, last year we did receive three state grants. Pauline, I'm sure, will touch on this in her report: animal control, building inspection, and tax assessment. You know, in all honesty, we've struggled a little bit, right, to get these programs off the ground. And I think it would be helpful for this committee to have an open and honest conversation about that. You know, why are we struggling with this? What are some of the impediments that perhaps we didn't realize when we filed these applications? What are some lessons that we might learn from this experience that could help us inform future applications? So that completes my report. I know it was a little bit lengthy. I can pause to take any quick questions folks might have. All right, not seeing any, why don't we move on? Oh, sorry, Maria.
Would now be a good time to provide a little bit of feedback on the RPIP application, or would you like that later in the meeting?
So what I was thinking of, Maria, is we should add that as a business item to a future meeting. Gotcha. Where we can really spend time on it and get into it in earnest. And I was just trying to tee that up.
Gotcha. Thanks.
Thank you.
Matt, on the traffic, is anyone following Nehaven, which is just starting out now to implement that?
Yes. Yep. We are tracking those communities around the state that are moving forward with this. New Haven, Stamford, West Hartford, probably a couple of others too.
And Weathersfield. Just
adopted. Thank you, Fred.
We adopted our ordinance and now we're working through the next phase of it.
Excellent. Well, maybe that'll be our sample ordinance. Thank you, John. Thank you, Fred. Maria, I didn't mean to cut you off. If there was a quick comment you wanted to make regarding RPIP.
Sorry about that. This is what happens. I multitask, try to eat and listen. No, you know, just one piece of feedback. And it kind of gets back to some of the collective bargaining impediments. But when I was in my previous community, I had some very challenging labor groups. Tom F. can probably elaborate a bit on that since he's still there. And I think a deterrent for us was, like, right up front, just even in the exploratory phase to be part of the application, the state was requiring basically like a blessing / sign off from our labor groups. And it just seemed so premature. And for us, it was a real impediment to just kind of moving forward, even in the exploratory phase. So if there's some way to work on that, I think that would be helpful.
Yeah, excellent point, Maria. So that bill I talked about, that House Bill 5056, would largely resolve that issue.
Oh, good.
You know, make substantial progress there. And then secondly, the notification piece, OPM did submit a separate piece of legislation that would make some enhancements to the RPIP process, and I think make that notification piece a little bit simpler too. Thank you. All right. Well, thank you for the good suggestions and questions there. Now move on to Pauline to ask us to provide us with her update.
I think it'll be helpful if I unmuted myself. I think actually, Matt, you covered almost everything that was on my list with regards to the updates. I can give more details on the RPIP grant, but as with assessment, we're still looking for willing partners. With the building, we did receive, we did close the RFQ, and we did have a respondent who looks to be potentially qualified. We're still looking into that with the review committee. And animal control is looking for willing partners as well.
Thank you, Pauline. Any questions for Pauline? All right, not hearing any. Why don't we move on to a federal funding update? And I'm going to turn to Elizabeth Sanderson here. She's going to highlight the most recent elements, recent items that have become available. Elizabeth,
thank you. One of the top, maybe the most applicable to folks, and you've probably already heard, Safe Streets and Roads for All has announced their third round of funding. This is $1.2 billion available and focused on implementing strategies that will reduce fatalities and serious injuries on roadways. We have our regional transportation safety plan that has collectively served with the Metropolitan Transportation Plan together, have served as the action plan for our region. So any items in those plans could be used to apply as a planning and demonstration grant, or the more difficult is the implementation grant, just because there's expected 50 grants, but there is a regional bonus to that. So if you have an implementation project or a that you're interested in, they are looking at awarding those grants on a regional or a locational basis too. So Connecticut may be due for more implementation grants. But planning and demonstration grants is the first, maybe the easier application to complete. Neither application is very too complicated. So please let me know if you're interested in applying. I've spoken to a couple folks on the call today and other towns as well. So working on some additional documents to share with people to make this an easier application to complete with those upcoming deadlines. There's three for planning and demonstration grants and implementation grants. There's a single deadline, but it's still not, it's a little ways off, May 16th. The next program to highlight is Connecticut DOT's Active Transportation Micro Grant Program. And CROG is accepting applications for that program on behalf of DOT. And there'll be a review with DOT following those submissions. So these are for smaller grants up to $5,000 to promote safety. It's a complement to the Safe Routes to School program. So it's meant to boost safety with pedestrian bicycle safety, mostly, as what I've seen. But we have some information about that on in our funding newsletter, as well as on our website. Then the third program listed here is the Connecticut DEP's Urban Forestry Equity Grant Program. This is a kind of a planning and implementation or a capital project because it does cover tree planting as well as forestry planning or workforce development. Applications are due April 17th, and we are entertaining a regional submission. So if you are interested in applying, it's urban forestry. So there are certain census tracts, but as I mentioned in the newsletter, there's some census tracts in quite a few communities. So there's a map in the latest newsletter that shows that and a link to get some more information there. But if you're interested, let me know. And there's a link there to the funding newsletter. I will just mention too that the congressionally directed spending, senators, the offices of Senators Murphy and Blumenthal have announced that they're accepting applications for congressionally directed spending. This is also known as community funding projects. There were some recent announcements last week of last year's awards, and those applications will be accepted until April 14th. And we can assist you in applying for that as well if interested. And my email and phone number are below. So please feel free to reach out with questions or more information about these or other programs. Thank you.
Elizabeth, that was an excellent summary. Thank you. Before we turn to questions, could you maybe just briefly comment on the post that you and Aaliyah worked on, just announcing some of the more recent federal awards in our region, including the grant the DOT is receiving for the Greater Hartford Mobility Study?
Sure. Yeah. The post we worked on it's a LinkedIn post announcing the Reconnecting Communities Pilot Program was the USDOT's program that was announced last week. USDOT and Connecticut DOT was awarded a $2 million grant for the planning portion of the Hartford, East Hartford River Gateway of the Greater Hartford Mobility Study. So that is good progress for next steps in moving forward with the Greater Hartford Mobility Study, which I hope many of you are already aware of, to address mobility on a regional basis through the Hartford region. And then also we highlighted in that post several communities that were awarded through the House of Representatives funding from the congressionally directed spending. So New Britain received some funds, as well as Mansfield. And I don't have that list in front of me at the moment, but I can drop that in the chat. So
good. If that's helpful. Thank you.
Thank you.
That's great, Elizabeth. Thank you. So over $50 million, you know, coming to our member municipalities under the BIL to date, which is good progress. Questions, comments, questions for Elizabeth? All right. If you haven't had a chance to do so, I would highly encourage you to take a look at the newsletter, the grant funding newsletter that Elizabeth produces every month. You know, it's very comprehensive, has a lot of very good information in there. And I know at least a couple of you have reached out for assistance regarding this next round of SS4A funding. So we look forward to working with you to prepare good competitive applications under this next round. So why don't we move on then? And Kim has an update for us as well on the good work she's been doing in the category of professional consulting services. This was a project you may recall we kicked off last year. Kim?
Thanks, Matt. Yes, so as Matt said, we CROG issued an RFQ for professional consulting services. End of 2023. We ended up extending that deadline a little bit longer, so it carried into the new year. But we have since reviewed our proposals, and we are happy to announce a handful of qualified consulting firms and individuals that are available for our towns to reach out to utilize for various professional services, such as town manager, town administrator, finance help. Got special projects and consulting firm on there that'll do executive searches and other various municipal positions as well. So that is on our website. I'm happy to drop the link in our chat box. And if anyone has any questions, I'm always here. You can give me a call, email me. I'm happy to share the proposals, whatever you may need.
Thank you, Kim. We appreciate your work on that. Any questions for Kim?
Just on my end, I think that's great. Kim, thank you. If you drop the link in the chat, I'd definitely check it out. Thank you.
Thanks, Absolutely. Andy. Okay, anybody else there? All right, why don't we move forward then? Peter hasn't been able to join us yet, has he? I don't see him. Okay, we'll keep going. So our primary business item today, we want to give you an update on our work on the Economic Development District and the Comprehensive Economic Development Strategy, or SEDS, which some of you are, or perhaps most of you are familiar with. Next slide, please, Kim. So taking a step back, what do we mean by these two acronyms? An economic development district, and this is the EDA's definition, it's really a multi-jurisdictional entity, and it's commonly composed of multiple towns or even multiple counties in other states. I think there are roughly 400 of these across the country. And the purpose of an economic development district is to lead a locally based, but kind of a regional driven planning process that brings together the public sector, the private sector, the nonprofit sector to produce this comprehensive economic development strategy for the region to collaborate together on. Another advantage of an economic development district is it has a direct linkage to the Federal Economic Development Administration, the EDA. So this economic development district designation is awarded by the EDA. And CROG was seeking it, working on obtaining it for several years. You know, a lot of hard work went into that application. And we're glad that we now have that designation so that we can better leverage and take advantage of federal funds. So what's a SEDS? What's a SEDS if you're not familiar with it? Again, that stands for Comprehensive Economic Development Strategy, and it's something we update roughly every 4 to 5 years. That's really a plan of the major economic development initiatives from across the region. And it's a process where, again, local government can come together, working with the private sector, as well as the nonprofit sector, to produce this plan. Next slide, please. So as I mentioned a minute or so ago, CROG did recently receive this EDD designation from the EDA. You know, we received it this past August, and I think the process was roughly three years or so. It takes a while to obtain this. And we updated the regional SEDS last September. And that document is co-sponsored by Metro Hartford Alliance, or the MHA. Some of you may be members of the MHA. I know that Windsor is. And the MHA actually used to take the lead on the SEDS, and I think CROG took it over roughly 10 years or so ago. So the latest version of the SEDS, I meant to drop the link in here and I forgot to do so. I'll ask, we can do that at a later point. We have talked about the SEDS in the past, and it does have a very, very ambitious set of goals. And here are the five main goals. We talk about adapting the physical environment to meet current and future needs. That really, that primarily is getting at the challenges that we're having with the commercial office market, right? That we're seeing in Hartford, Windsor, and other places. You know, what's going to happen with these offices? Can they be repurposed? In some cases, they can. In other cases, not so easy. You know, what are the ramifications and potential impact on municipal grand lists? You know, I'm sure those of you that have a number of these properties, you know, you're concerned, we're concerned, we want to do what we can to help out. So there's a significant element of the SEDS that is devoted to this topic and coming up with good workable strategies to address this challenge. The second big goal in the SEDS is breaking down barriers for entrepreneurs, and small businesses. A lot of that gets at workforce development and training for young entrepreneurs and others, you know, who want to start a business venture. You know, we actually have done some work in this area in the past, utilizing another federal grant, and we've got some decent information on our website now that helps folks looking to start a business and what existing supports exist within the region to help them do that successfully. So the SEDS has a number of related action items pertaining to that topic too. Next big goal, hyper-focus on existing businesses. So in economic development, I think we all know this, right? We're always focused on recruiting new businesses. Sometimes we forget about the businesses we've had in our communities for generations who really are the backbone of our local economy. So what more can we do to help them? What more can we do to help existing businesses succeed and flourish? And there are a number of strategies in the plan related to that topic. The fourth topic is related to all of these. How do we create more equitable economic opportunity for new business owners, others who are struggling to enter the workforce? Maybe they're in the second chance workforce category, previously incarcerated, but are well positioned to now enter the workforce. What more can we do to assist those folks? We know about the workforce development challenges we're facing in the private sector and the public sector. So there are a set of strategies related to that topic. And then last but not least is how do we restructure the implementation framework for the SEDS itself to make sure that we're more successful, that we're more proactive with respect to the SEDS. Because one of the things we've suffered from with recent plans is we put all this time and effort into developing the plan, and then we struggle with implementation. So there are a set of recommendations there in terms of how do we best position ourselves to be able to actually implement the plan successfully. So the plan's ambitious. It's going to take resources in order to implement it, and certainly far more than CROG can do on its own. Recall, this is a regional plan, a regional strategy. So we're going to require assistance from the private sector, the nonprofit sector, the public sector to implement this successfully. Next slide, please. Oh, if you could back up one. Thank you. Thanks, Kim. So what have we been focused on over the last couple of months? Caitlin Palmer, our Director of Regional Planning and Development, and I have taken the lead on this. We've met with several other economic development districts located close by in either Massachusetts or Connecticut to learn more about their program and how they're governed and what their staffing resources are like. I should have said this at the beginning, but there are some number of economic development districts that are co-hosted by councils of governments or regional planning agencies. And nationally, that's a good model. There are plenty of standalone EDDs, and actually there are several standalone EDDs here in Connecticut. But when it's hosted by a COG or regional planning agency, you're able to capture something of an economy of scale, and there's a larger set of resources that the EDD can draw upon. So Caitlin Palmer and I, again, we met with several of our peers in the area to learn more about the work that they do. So based on what we learned, we are now recruiting a full-time economic development coordinator to staff the EDD and to coordinate the work of the SEDS. And the economic development coordinator, the pay range we're using is that of our program manager. And we've got several program managers. Elizabeth and Kim, for example, work under that that job title. So the work of this person, they're going to focus on community development as well as economic development, because oftentimes you need community development first, especially when you're talking about historically disenfranchised communities, in order for them to take full advantage of good economic development practices and opportunities. So we're looking for someone with good administrative and programmatic skills. So this person is not going to do the same type of job like an economic development coordinator would do in your communities. You know, this person is not going to be focused as much on business recruitment and retention. They're going to be focused on staffing the EDD and coordinating the implementation of the SEDS. You know, they're going to have to be someone who can really read and understand regulations, funding opportunities, and translate those to all of us, You know, someone who can develop a good working relationship with the EDA and other federal and state agencies. And then also someone who can network a little bit, build and help sustain a network. So we're recruiting right now. You know, we have received a number of applications, which is great. And we're planning to conduct first interviews next month. So excited about that, excited about bringing a talented person on board in this role. On a related point, let me just cover that and then I'll pause for questions because I know I've been talking a lot here. So on the governance piece, Caitlin Palmer and I have been reviewing various options. And we think what makes the most sense for CROG, we do have an economic development committee on the books under our bylaws. So we want to tweak that a little bit, come up with our working title right now, and it's a working title, is an economic and community, adding the word community, economic and community development committee. That would be advisory to the policy board as the economic development district. And this would be consistent with CROG's existing framework that's in place for the transportation committee and the MPO. As John Coleman and Rob Eloise can tell you, the Transportation Committee advises the policy board in its role as the MPO. So we're looking to mirror that framework to some extent. And for membership on this committee, we'll be looking to recruit municipal representatives, folks who are working in the economic development space. We're going to be looking to recruit people from the private sector, maybe some of our major employers, their representatives, as well as key nonprofits, such as Capital Workforce Partners and others. So we're excited about this, the opportunity to bring someone on full time in this role. This is the first time that CROG has been able to do that and to be able to strengthen our existing committee framework to add some capacity on from a governance standpoint as well. So let me stop there. Happy to take any quick questions or suggestions that folks might have. Sound like a decent plan? What do we think? John? John Coleman.
I'm comfortable. Sounds good to me, Matt. Sounds like you've a good framework to move forward on something that the policy board and the region and you in particular have been wanting to do for some time. And I think you got it together. And hopefully you will find the right applicant that can really staff it well and advise and guide the committee in its review and deliberations and reporting up to the policy board. Looks like an excellent framework.
Thank you, John. You know, another thing we see this person doing is helping to support the network of local economic development professionals. I know not every town has a dedicated person. Sometimes someone is handling it. It's one of many responsibilities that they may hold, like a town planner, for example. But we see our position helping to support and build that network. You know, we know that CEDIS exists, the Connecticut chapter of economic development professionals, but we think we can build a little bit of a regional network here too. Other thoughts or questions?
I think it's great. Yeah, I agree. It's a really good framework and I'm excited the Prague's taking it on.
Yeah, thank you, Andy. And Andy, I don't know if you worked a little bit in this space in your prior role.
Yeah, so I worked for the South Central Regional Council of Governments before coming to the town of Plainville. We had like a sister agency with SCROG. It was called REX, the Regional Economic Development Corporation, I think was their name. So they used to be part of the same office, and then I think they ended up taking an office down in New Haven, which made a lot of sense for them, given that was kind of the center of the region for economic development. But I thought it was a great partnership. We worked with them closely on our board meetings. I worked with them on some SEDS projects that we did back in my time there. So I think it was a great partnership. I know the region benefited from it a lot. So I don't know if there's anything further on that, but I thought it was a good model, and I'm excited to see CROG kind of do something similar. I think that's excellent.
Thank you, Andy. Appreciate that. Appreciate you sharing your previous experiences there. You know, and we're gonna try this, and if we need to tweak it a little bit, particularly the governance piece, we will over time. Any other comments or thoughts? Okay, well, I think once we bring someone on board, we'll introduce them to this committee, and they can provide you all with periodic updates. So why don't we move on to municipal information sharing? I'm probably going to call on a few of you. I hope you don't mind, but I think one of our colleagues, Eric Snowden, wants to lead off. Pauline, did I get a message from you to that effect?
Yep. Eric is here, so.
All right, up, Eric. You're up if you're available.
There he is.
Sorry about that. I was waiting for me to click away the agree to being recorded thing. Just real quick, the 2023 aerial flyover, the data is now in QAQC, and we are looking for municipal volunteers to donate a little bit of time to check over the building footprints and the ortho imagery. I did send an email out to my list of GIS contacts for all the municipalities, and I did get a handful of responses, a lot of the usual suspects. You know, if anyone else wants to lend a hand, that's fine. It's kind of a many hands makes light work kind of thing. It's not, it's more or less spot checking, as the vendor did their own third party QAQC on the data, but you know, it also give you a chance to get a peek at your town's data a little early. The delivery's been a little bit delayed. We expected it by now, but the sheer volume of the data and the resolution of it all is something that really none of the aerial vendors have really tackled before. So they're kind of learning as we go as well. But once it's all delivered, I think folks will be pretty impressed. But yeah, if someone's interested in your town, just send me an email. We're having an informational meeting at 11 o'clock on Friday that OPM is running out of their GIS office to give instructions on how to help. Thanks.
That's great, Eric. Thank you. I know you're easy to find, but can you drop your email in the chat?
Absolutely.
All right, questions for Eric.
I've got a question.
Yes, Bob.
How is that gonna be delivered to the municipalities? Is there gonna be a cost to it? You know, how's that gonna be utilized?
It's going to be similar to the 2016 flight that we managed out of the CROG offices, actually. It'll be available on UConn servers via CTECO. I will put that link in the chat, too, but that's a division. It's like CLEAR, the organization CLEAR out of UConn runs a GIS data warehouse with a bunch of viewers, and and all that kind of thing. Also to be there for download as well. The footprint on some of this stuff is massive, so it's kind of better just to be able to grab what you really want. But it includes new building footprints, 3D buildings, which is a new product for a lot of us, and also LiDAR, which is laser elevation data. And it's this flight has been captured at 12 to 20 points per square meter, so it's very, very, very accurate. So, but yeah. And again, any questions, I'll put my email in there. Feel free.
Great. Thank you.
Yeah, great question, Bob. Thank you. Thanks, Eric. All right. Touching on a couple other topics here. Jonathan, Louise. Jonathan, I don't know if you're in a position to talk or not, but I was wondering if you wanted to briefly report on the regional equipment grant that, you know, you worked on in collaboration with Pauline and Cheryl Assis.
Sure. Yeah. With their help, we were able to through CROG submit a grant application for several hundred thousands of dollars for trail sharing equipment that would be shared amongst the towns of Glastonbury, Wethersfield, Rocky Hill, the Cromwell, and also Riverfront Recapture. I might be missing one, so I apologize if I am. And so, there's a community match that we've all pledged to as part of the initial purchase of that equipment, as well as an understanding that we'll share expenses over the life of those of that equipment for maintenance. And CROG also did chip in toward the upfront purchase, so that's very much appreciated. So we await word to see if we will get a grant award. I think it's we've got a unique and strong application, and equipment does fit the bill for that grant. So eagerly await the outcome. And many thanks to CROG staff for facilitating and also drafting the application. Very much appreciative of that.
Yeah, thank you, Jonathan. And, you know, we really appreciate you coming forward with the idea. And, you know, I think that's a good example of the good work that this committee can do. You know, one member like Jonathan in this case had a good idea. He brought forward and we worked together as a team to prepare and submit that application. Big thanks to Pauline and Cheryl and hopefully it comes through. So that's great. Bob.
Yeah, real quick, Jonathan, just to let you know, the Farmington Valley did that, I don't know, about a decade or 8 years ago. And we have an agreement that we use between all the towns. So if you're, you know, if you're looking for an agreement that's been drafted and reviewed by half a dozen lawyers, just let me know and I can send it to you.
That'd be great. Thank you, Bob.
Yeah.
Thank you, Bob. Fred, are you in a position to chat a little bit maybe about your community's work on automatic traffic enforcement and you want to mention CSWA as well?
Sure. Yeah, so my council is very interested in moving forward quickly with the automatic traffic enforcement. So we had our town attorney take the model ordinance that was the city of Hartford's that was on the DOT website. They made some adjustments to that. We had our public hearing and it was adopted at the, not this, not the meeting last night, the meeting before. So the ordinance has been adopted and now we're going through the next step of working on getting an RFP out and to hire a consultant to come in, and they will help us to develop the plan that will be submitted to CONDOT for approval and then to actually implement the program. So we're still trying to, we're doing some conversations with CONDOT as we kind of go through this. I think it's new to everyone and seeing the best approach, but right now it looks like that's going to be our approach moving forward. So still pretty fresh, but we are moving forward and I know the council wants to get them implemented as soon as possible.
Excellent.
And it's CSWA. We had, an executive committee meeting yesterday. We continue to look for new members to join us. But in essence, you know, we're trying to deal with some of our waste disposal issues on a regional level. We had a good conversation yesterday about organics and potentially going out for a request for information around that topic, dealing with food waste. And but we're also looking at updating the bylaws to make it we'll say, easier for entry for other communities that want to join us and get as much participation as possible. Obviously, this is an issue that we're all dealing with across the state. And I think as a region, we could have a lot of lot more power to get things done and to move the needle on this issue. So still in the early stages of kind of the reformation of this group, but I think it's going well.
Yeah, thank you so much, Fred. And for those of you who aren't familiar with CSWA, that stands for the Central Connecticut Solid Waste Authority. And it's been in existence for several years. It was on hiatus for a couple of years, and we recently brought it back. We've got 14 members at present. 13 of them are CROG communities. Fred has graciously stepped up and is serving as our chair, which we really appreciate. And I think we'll have an opportunity in future meetings to talk more about CSWA, its programs and services, to see if there are other CROG towns that wish to join.
And I'll just state, Matt, back on the automated traffic enforcement. Once we get to the point of an RFP and more specifically a contract with a vendor, I'd be happy to work with CROG staff to incorporate any sharing agreement language that you all might have, rider agreement kind of stuff, so that people might not have to repeat this process if they wanted to use our vendor. So I'm happy to work with you all on that if that makes sense for folks.
Well, that's great, Fred. We really appreciate that. You took note of that, right, Kim? Good. Any questions for Fred? All right. And then, oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead, John.
How's this town planner doing?
Fantastic.
He's a good get.
He absolutely is. We're happy to have him back into the fold. Obviously, he started with Weathersfield years ago. Moved on and now he's back home. So
no hard feelings, right, John?
We wish Justin well. He's a phenomenal person and an extremely competent planner.
Yeah, we're lucky.
That's good. In a few minutes that we have left, Kasha, I don't know if you're in a position where you can talk a little bit about your downtown project and how that's going. She may not be. Anyone else have something exciting happening in their community that they might want to share, or maybe some lessons learned? Andy, I know you guys are doing a great job in the social media world.
Yeah, I was just thinking about whether I wanted to speak up on that. So, we are doing some really exciting stuff on social media that I could share quickly. And obviously, if someone's interested, we could talk more offline. But the town manager and I have kind of started this social media campaign in town. The whole point is, how do we promote the town to prospective businesses, to residents? How do we improve communication with our residents and with the community, and do so on a really low budget, actually really no budget at all? And so what we've done is we've transformed a part-time position in our town manager's office to be the office assistant that it was, but also take on some social media coordination, which up until that point was pretty much just me. And so we have a Facebook, we have an Instagram, and we have a LinkedIn. And what we've done is elevate the type of content we've put out. So other than just kind of the alerts and notices and sharing events that we've always done, we've worked on showcasing businesses in town through short videos and reels and things like that. And we have a great team working on it. And we've had such positive reaction from businesses in the community and also residents that are excited about us showcasing places that they frequent often, or maybe they own or family members own. We've been able to do manufacturing as well. So it's not just like business to customer businesses. It's also business to business. We have a lot of manufacturing in town. So I think we've done a really cool job doing that. And then the town manager just released this manager's minute, which he does every week, talking about different things in town. We talked about a development going on right here in the downtown area. We have the recreation department has some cool things going on, like pavilion rentals and other programs. So he just posted something on that as well. So I think residents have taken to it. Obviously, you always have people who comment snarky things. I find them somewhat enjoyable. Nothing harmful, always gives me a good laugh. But overall, really positive feedback. And we've been able to grow our followers on Instagram and Facebook, which means obviously when we need to post something more serious or something really important about like elections, for example, like we have a referendum going on today for a middle school project, we're able to communicate that to a broader amount of people because we've increased those who are following us. So not to take too much time, but that's kind of what we're working on. It's really exciting. And I think, you know, we've already seen some positive feedback on that. So it's growing, but that's kind of where we're at.
No, that's excellent, Andy. I don't know if we could talk you and Mike into maybe a future presentation.
We could, maybe. Mike certainly would love that. I could be convinced if my boss told me that would be the right thing to do.
You're turning Mike into a social media star. That's
I know. He's really good. One thing I appreciate is that he wants to get his hands on and he wants to learn everything. So he's a team player in it, and that's something that's been excellent for us.
Yeah. No, I've enjoyed following it, and I think some good lessons learned for our communities.
We'd certainly be open to doing a bigger presentation on this. We could invite our social media coordinator as well. She actually owns a small business in Wallingford, Connecticut. So I thought she was a great asset to our team, being a business owner herself. We're really lucky to have put together the team we have.
Excellent.
Really quick, Andy, news to my ears, which should be no surprise to you. This is Aaliyah here. I think this is great. It's some of the stuff that we're trying to do here at CROG as well. And we have an upcoming meeting that I'll shoot you an email offline about, because I think what you're doing for our PIO coming at the end of the month, if you're available, would be an asset. And congratulations.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, send over an email. I'll get back to you. Thank you.
Aaliyah, do you want to briefly mention the support or the network we're trying to build of public information officers in our towns?
Yeah, I quickly will. We have an upcoming meeting. I believe it's scheduled for the last week in March. And this is really an effort on our part here at CROG to be aware of what's happening in our towns and know similar efforts to just like what Andy shared, and for us to be able to help on a regional basis communicate that across our channels, publish it in our newsletter. So what we're just getting started, this is going to be our second meeting, the first one we did last year, but we're going to do another meeting reconnecting with public information officers from our area and look to share some updates. I'll present on sort of what CROG is doing, but also want to hear best practices and also want to make sure that we're aware of what's happening in our towns. Again, that way we could publicize it. And I think it's really helpful when we hear success stories and are able to share, because that does help amplify and get the message out there and makes more people in the community aware of what we're doing, especially those critical pieces of information when emergencies and such come up. But knowing and being able to share that information with others is great. And we're looking forward to hosting that meeting in a couple weeks. Thank you.
Thanks, Aaliyah. All right, we'll keep the committee informed of our progress there too. So before we conclude with future agenda items, any other points folks wanted to share under municipal information sharing? All right, good discussion. Thank you, everybody. So wrapping up with future agenda items, you know, let's see if we can talk more about local communications programs and efforts utilizing social media and others. You know, Andy, if you could talk to Mike about that, that would be wonderful. I talked earlier about the fact that, you know, we're working on the automated traffic enforcement systems. We'll likely have an update on that. Would like to revisit stormwater management, which is a topic we spoke about at some length in 2022 and then last year as well. I've got an upcoming meeting with DEEP, as well as the MPC, the Metropolitan District Commission, that hopefully will be informative. So we'll want to share on that point too. Anyone have any suggestions for our future agenda items, things you would like us to cover in a future Municipal Services Committee meeting? Well, if you don't have any today, you can always email your good ideas to Kim.
Matt, this is Jonathan Louise. I just want to have a quick question for the group. STEEP grants were awarded in September, and we've been awaiting paperwork from the department that's administering our grant. I'm checking to see if anyone else has not received, we received the award letter, but that's it. Checking to see if anyone else is waiting on paperwork.
Anyone else? And thank you, Jonathan. Anyone else in that situation?
Yeah, Canton hasn't received its paperwork either. We've sent several emails.
I'm also waiting for paperwork, but they did ask me to resubmit a budget because they needed to change the logo, the state logo on the paperwork. And I think I sent my assistance agreement that I received February 22nd, but I haven't received it back.
Very good. I have a call with someone from OPM, so I won't name names, but I'll say I know of two other communities that are struggling a little bit to get a response.
So Jonathan, do you think it'd be helpful, and others, do you think it'd be helpful if we at CROG send an inquiry?
I would have said yes, but since I just called Martin Heff this morning and there's a callback, mm-hmm. I could just talk to him directly about it. And then maybe if in a month or so we don't see any movement, maybe we could then take that approach. That'd be my suggestion.
Okay. I do know Martin is very responsive. So hopefully you make progress there. Thank you for raising that. Okay. Anything else for the good of the order today? Thank you all for a good discussion, a good meeting, and look forward to seeing you all soon. Look forward to inviting you here to our new home at the Metro Center. Have a great rest of your week. Go UConn. Take care, everybody.
Well, everybody.
Take care, everyone.